I hope you have your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 will be there in just a moment. Let me add my word of appreciation to everyone who is here. As always, of course, for our family. It's good to have a family gathering with each other and remind ourselves of the relationship we have with each other through Jesus Christ. For our visitors, thank you for being here today. If you are looking for a place to worship, if you're looking to try to learn more about Christ, we would love to do anything we can to help you. Stick around. Let us get to know you a little bit. Good to see everyone. Well, probably all of us over the last week have become more and more increasingly concerned about the coronavirus. We had heard about it over the last several weeks, but this last week, the news has begun to intensify. And the P word, pandemic, is the word that has moved around more and more. These are statistics from Friday. They have changed somewhat over the last few days. 60 countries were infected. There are 82,000 cases, reported cases of the virus. 2,800 deaths have taken place. 2,600 of those deaths are in China. 200 outside of China. The mortality rate in China is 2 to 3%. Elsewhere, 0.07%. In the United States, I saw this morning, 71 cases have been presented. Yesterday, the first death from the coronavirus in the United States. But that's still a relatively small number. One out of every 5.5 million people. And if you break it down into decimals, it's 0.00018%. of the population. In contrast to that, the Spanish flu that hit from the spring of 1918 to the spring of 1919 affected one-third of the world. And in one-third of the world, 50 million people plus died. In the United States alone, one-quarter of the population was infected. It is believed that 500,000 to 675,000 people died of the Spanish flu. And the common flu that hits us every year, over the last 10 years, on average, 9 million to 45 million people are infected. 12,000 to 61,000 people in the United States die. And worldwide, the mortality rate of the common flu is 300,000 to 650,000 every year, average over the last 10 years. I say all that to say this. While the coronavirus is something that we should be concerned about, one CDC official said this of Maine, the risk to the public remains low. And the CDC says that there are some really, you try to say that, stop laughing at me, says that there are some really, really common things that we can do. And you've probably seen this over and over again. Wash your hands often with warm water and soap for at least 20 seconds. Use rubbing alcohol on your hands. Avoid touching your mouth, your nose, your eyes to the best of your ability. Cover your mouth when coughing with the bend of your arm or with a tissue. And if you see someone who's coughing or sneezing, try to stay outside of a range of 3 feet. And if you do those things, your odds of coming down with a coronavirus are really, really low at this point. Now, that's the way things are. Again, not to say we shouldn't be concerned, but we need to put it in perspective. But what if I told you that there is another pandemic that is a real pandemic that is worldwide, and it has a 100% infection rate and a 100% mortality rate. And yet most people aren't very concerned about it. And it's around us every day. You know where I'm going with this. I want to talk about sin. Because while we are freaking out as a culture over the coronavirus, which on a very small level has very little impact in our lives physically, sin is something that is everywhere. And beloved, the world out there is not concerned about it. And there are a lot of times we're not as concerned about it as we should be. Romans chapter 5, let's begin in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Paul begins by talking to us about what we'll call patient zero. In medical terms, patient zero is the first person to contract the disease. They are still trying to find patient zero of the coronavirus. Why is that important? Because if they can find out who the first person was, they can find out how sometimes it jumped into the human race. They can find out how that person contracted it and begin to understand the disease better. Patient zero. And Paul tells us very clearly who patient zero is. It is Adam. Paul tells us sin came into the world through one man. Now, if you want to get technical, patient zero is actually patience zero. But that's not Paul's point here within the text. Paul wants to draw a contrast here, and he begins by looking at Adam. And he tells us that Adam brought sin into the world. So you remember the story. We won't take time to look back at it. But Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave one command, actually two commands, to Adam. First of all, attend the garden, but second of all, of the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two commands. And Adam blew it with only two commands. Okay. I mean, that ought to be a lesson to all of us. We start thinking sometimes, we can do this life pretty well. We got a lot of commands. Here's a guy who had two commands and he blew it seems, relatively quickly. You know Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, Eve is on the scene by that point. And she eats of the tree. She knows that it's wrong. She eats of the tree, takes the fruit to her husband, says, hey, look, this is pretty good fruit. And they both eat of it. And when they ate of it, they were contaminated, listen to me, before God. And because of that, there were curses that came upon them, the results of what they did. And importantly, they were isolated away from God. By the end of Genesis chapter 3, God separates himself from them. Lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever, they're cast out of the garden. And this is where sin came from. It's always been a theological question. How did Adam bring sin into the world? The answer of Calvinism is this, original sin. That Adam and Eve were the first two people. And since they sinned before their children were born, they lost their pure nature and they became sinful and they passed that sinful nature on to the world around them. So the answer from a Calvinist standpoint is, well, we sin because we're born of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve fell and we inherited this sinful nature. We don't have time to deal with that. I'll just simply point out to you Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. One verse where the statement is made, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Why is this? Because in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we have a very clear definition of sin. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. I think the New King James Translation, or the King James Translation, says that sin is transgression of the law. Right? Why do we not inherit sin? Because we sin when we transgress the law of God. I am not transgressing the law of God because I'm born. All right? When I choose to sin, that's when I sin. All right? I asked when I studied with Calvinists, why did Adam and Eve sin? Well, they sinned because they chose to sin. That's the reason why we sin. We choose to sin. And so it's not Calvinism, it is Bibleism. It is the idea that we choose to sin. So Adam and Eve, Adam here in Paul's text, were the first to disobey God. Now that's how Adam brought sin into the world. Adam chose to disobey God. He knew what God wanted, and he chose to disobey. And because of that, they were the first to rebel against God. And they set that example. And because they set the example, their children saw that example. And children after that, so much so that Genesis chapter 6 says the whole world is just full of sin. And that's the way it is for us today. Why do we sin today? We sin because we choose to sin. We are tempted and we give in. Adam brought it into the world. Okay, so I've made this comparison before. You may or may not remember it. You know how I feel about chocolate cake. Okay, I'm not thinking about chocolate cake until someone brings chocolate cake and puts it right in front of me. They have brought it into the room. And now I'm thinking about chocolate cake. And now let's see, there are tables all around the auditorium here, and there's chocolate cake all over the auditorium. And I got to walk through this room. Now, that temptation is everywhere because someone brought it in. All right? So let's take this a step farther. You may like apple pie. We'll stick with desserts. Okay, you may like apple pie. And so now you and I are walking through this room, and there's apple pie everywhere and chocolate cake. Well, guess what? Chocolate cake's my favorite, but apple pie is pretty good too. And so now I'm not just tempted with chocolate cake, now I'm tempted with apple pie, and you bring steak and whatever. And so all of us collectively, we were walking through a world where there's sin everywhere we go because Adam brought it in. And that's Paul's point. He is patient zero. Because of that, there is a 100% infection rate. Because again, Romans chapter 5, Paul says, all sin. Every one of us. Romans chapter 3, you might open your Bible just back a page or two. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a passage that we all know. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We'll start with verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no distinction. Everybody in their life sins. And we know we have sin in our lives because of the symptoms that Scripture gives us. What are the symptoms? Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now be honest, look at that list. How many of you see yourself in that list? Okay. And those of you who aren't raising your hands, you should be. Because you're there. Here's another ugly list, Revelation 21 verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns, the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. See yourself there? Raise your hand. Okay? Okay? And don't be too proud. If you're keeping your hand down because you're proud, you've got a problem there. Okay? This hits all of us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Beloved, that hits all of us. Okay? That's the universal nature here. Okay? It is everywhere, and all of us at some time. Now, some may give themselves over to sin more than others, but all of us have been infected by it. Okay? And so the issue is not, do you have, did you stick your hand in full of a bucket of coronaviruses? I don't know if that's even a thing. Or did you get one? It doesn't matter. Okay? You still got it. And it affects everyone. And Paul says in Romans chapter 3 that because of this, we fall short of the glory of God. Now, what does that even mean? I'm not exactly sure. There are two ideas that I think are present. One, God is a glorious God, and we just fall short when we're in front of His glory because we have sinned within our lives. The other idea is that God created us to share this glory, and we fall short of being what God created. I'm not sure which one it is. Either way, guys, it's bad. And it's all of us across the board. And what this causes in our life then is isolation. Because just like Adam and Eve, when they sin, they were isolated from God. That's what happens to us. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, you know this passage, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Notice who the instigator of the problem is. It's us. We have sinned. God has separated himself because of our sin. And Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 23, the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity. Speaking here, of course, contextually of Israel. But the reason why is this. Because they dealt so treacherously with me that I hid my face from them. That's what's happened. What happens because of sin. And it happens to everyone. And here's the kicker. There is a 100% infection rate and there is a 100% mortality rate. My beloved, that's what we need to be concerned about. When you contract sin within your life, there is one penalty, there is one result. Paul says in verse 12 of our text, Romans chapter 5, death spread to all. Why? Because all sin, death came. Verse 14, death reigned. We are so terrified of death, as well we should be. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Paul says to us, the wages of sin, what you are paid because of sin, what you are due because of sin, is death. Now, what type of death are we talking about here? Physical death, spiritual death. The greatest answer that's found here within the text is found in verse 16. For the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one's trespass brought condemnation. Verse 18, therefore, as one man's trespass led to condemnation, the greatest death that came because of sin and comes upon us, you and me, because of sin is spiritual death. We are spiritually separated from God. And we're not going to go into this now, but shorthand, that's going to be hell for all eternity. Now, there's a sense in which physical death becomes a metaphor for spiritual death. I don't see spiritual death. Well, sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't see spiritual death. I see physical death. And Paul even goes as far as to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that while spiritual death is the larger issue that's being addressed there, even our physical body is going to be resurrected somehow. So even physical death will be undone. But spiritual death, that's the thing that ought to concern us. So there's patient zero. There is a 100% infection rate. Everyone here is tainted or will be tainted once you reach an age where you know what you're doing. And if nothing's done about it, there's a 100... How would you feel if there was a disease that we were looking at that had a 100% infection rate or mortality rate? I mean, would that change your anxiety level? We're freaking out over 0.07%. And we're just blasé when it comes to 100%. Even sometimes in the church, what we need is a cure. Let's begin in verse 15. In verse 15, we are told this, and the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gifts of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, As one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ here is presented as the answer to the pathogen of sin. Verse 16, it is Jesus Christ who brings justification. In verse 18, it is Jesus who brings life. In verse 19 and verse 21, it is Jesus who brings righteousness to us. Romans chapter 3, 24 through 26, we are told this. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. Propitiation is a substitute. Jesus Christ is the one who came and died for us. He paid the wages of death. And because of Jesus Christ, you and I can have life within our life. This is, as Paul says in verse 15, by God's grace. It is because He loves us. He wants what's best for us. He wants to heal us when we are infected. And it is a free gift. That is not to say that there is not a price to be paid by us. That is not to say that there are not changes that we need to make within our life. It is to say that we could not fix this on our own, and God freely gives it to us. So, what do I need to do? What do you need to do? Four things I want to suggest to you. First of all, and I hope this is apparent by now, I need to take sin seriously. Do you? I mean, again, you know, we're especially if this virus spreads, we're going to be washing our hands like crazy, right? We're going to be, every time we have an opportunity, we walk in by any place that has the little squirter stuff, we're going to be taking that stuff and like slathering it all over our body. Okay? But we watch movies that are filled with pornography and vulgar language. We play video games that are filled with vulgar language. We don't think twice about it, do we? We listen to songs that are filled with inappropriate language. We don't think twice about it. And in fact, this is what we do. In fact, we sort of glory in this. We say, well, you know, there's nothing that says that we can't listen to words, you know. And in fact, you know, we've got to be around the world. I hear this language all the time. The answer is not legalism. But the answer is for a child of God who says, look, I am navigating through a world that is filled with contaminants. I've got to be careful. It's everywhere. So the other night, we rented a PG-13 movie. Okay. Now we have VidAngel, which filters things. Okay. But it was amazing to me how often those filters kicked in to a PG-13 movie. And it made me wonder, what are the things that are being filtered out right now? And there was a lot there in a PG-13 movie. I'm not saying you can't watch PG-13 movies. I'm saying, guys, we got to be more aware. I mean, there are sometimes people go see a movie, and I've probably been guilty of it. I'm not pulling my finger at you. I've probably been guilty of it. People say, well, that movie had a lot of vulgarity. I go, I didn't hear any of it. Maybe we got a problem. All right? I'm not going to come into your life and tell you what you can watch and what you can't watch. I'm not going to tell you what the songs you can listen to. But I am saying that the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. And we got to start making some choices, guys. Because we've got this stuff coming into our lives, and sometimes it's living in the church. And somewhere along the way, I got to start getting serious about this. Just like I'm washing my hands and sneezing into my elbow and I'm watching out for people who are sick over here, I got to start doing this with sin. And I'm not sure how good of a job we're doing with this. I hope you will understand, and I will understand, this is a big deal, guys. We are too comfortable. We make too many excuses. I know the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that we can't separate ourselves from the sexually immoral people of the world. We're going to be around sinful people. We need to be around sinful people. We need to let our light shine. We got to be more careful. We have got to be offended by sin more and more. Number two, I need to come to Jesus. Some of you need to come to Jesus. You needed to come to Jesus yesterday. But today is acceptable. If you don't know what you need to do to come to Jesus, you see me after services and we'll have a Bible study with one another. Very quickly, the Cliff Note version, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, every one of you. You got to realize that I've got sin in my life. I'm too comfortable with sin and I need to make some changes in my life. And you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. The water's ready. If you want to be baptized this morning and have all the pathogen of sin removed from your body, that's great, right? Someone came up and they said, you've got the coronavirus, but if you come over here and you get in this tub of water and you go under, it's all going to be removed. We'd all be signed up, right? Nobody would be going, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do this. We wouldn't care if we did it in front of 30 people, 300 people. We'd be signing, we'd be rushing up there right away. But we say back, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to do this in front of all these people there. You need to come to Jesus. Here's a third idea. I need to nourish my spiritual health. Everything we know about this virus at this point, and it's still preliminary, shows that the people who are infected more readily are people who are older, people who are younger, and people whose immune systems, their physical health has been compromised. So I read yesterday that one person, I think it's a lady who's died in Washington. She was a lady who had a lot of chronic problems. All right. So it begins to work into those people who are already compromised. And the lesson there for us, guys, is that we've got to work on our spiritual health. All right. This isn't rocket science. How do you increase your spiritual health? Okay. Study the Bible. Okay. Study the Bible. Pray more in your life. Do good deeds for other people. Each day I'll do a golden deed. Get out of your own problems and start serving other people. And yeah, I'm coming to this one. You need to make our assemblies a priority. Okay? You know, I've been debating on how hard to hit this, and I've just come to the point. I've been here for 20 years. I'm going to act like an old man. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say here. Okay? And I say this because I love you. Okay? And I'll have this caveat. I'm not talking to older people. I'm not talking to people who they got to go to work in just a little while and they can't control that. I'm not talking to people like that. Okay? But a lot of you are going to make a choice in just a little while to leave. And this is a time over the next hour and the hour after that where your spiritual health can be improved. And someone said because the coronavirus was spreading around that if you eat more vegetables, you'll increase your physical health and you'll do better. I suspect if this became a big deal, most of us would start eating a few more vegetables. Okay? And this is an opportunity for us to increase our spiritual health. We just had our Bible for them. There was only one night where our attendance was over 200. We got about 300 people here. 280, 300 people. Only one night. And that was Wednesday night. When it was expected to be over because we'd have the normal Wednesday night people. Now this was an opportunity, guys, for us to come and have our spiritual strength strengthened so we can go out to the world. And yet we allow all these other things. And I got to tell you, parents, you got to think about the lesson that you're sending to your children. About what's important. I love you. I don't like saying things like this. But I've got to. If you went to the doctor and you were afraid you had this virus and he didn't tell you or she didn't tell you things that you needed to do, you know,
Well, they're not a good doctor. And I got to warn you. I mean, we're letting too many things. I know Monday night, the weather was kind of bad, but you know, it was about 40, 45 degrees outside. It was rainy, I know, but you know, there wasn't a blizzard. And I know right now people are concerned about sickness. I get that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that we got to start thinking about this. This is important stuff. And you got to think about your spiritual nourishment. Because if you're spiritually strong, then these viruses, spiritual viruses that come at us, they won't grab hold of our life the same way. Just think about it. And one last one, we'll close the lesson. I need to protect myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about a brother in the church there who was sinning. You know what Paul said? Paul said, you guys need to isolate that person. Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And sometimes as a church, we have to do that. But certainly in your life. Paul also said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, evil companions, what? They corrupt good morals. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're allowing into your life that is really affecting you spiritually. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your best friend and they use language they shouldn't use and you know they're like that, but that's just the way they are. Maybe it's your good friend, whoever. Maybe you need to start separating yourself and saying, look, I really like that person, but they are not helping me. I mean, they're over there spiritually just coughing, sneezing away. They're spreading that sin virus everywhere. And you might need to start saying, I need to start distancing myself. We do that when it comes to a physical thing. Maybe we need to start doing that spiritually. So it's pretty heavy stuff. But it seems to me that with the fact that we're concerned about this right now, maybe we need to start opening our eyes and we need to start becoming more and more concerned about our spiritual life. So I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you need to be baptized. If you do, the water's ready. We'd love to help you. Maybe you're a child of God and maybe your sin is not known and you know, you're making some decisions now that maybe I need to start changing some things. Then as we sing in just a moment, go to God and ask God to forgive you. And He will. And talk to a brother or sister in Christ and ask them to help you. Have someone else there who will come alongside of you who wants what's best for you. Maybe your sin is public and people know and you know, hey, I got to change this. I need to get this fixed in my life. I do love you. And I want you to go to heaven. And I hope you want me to go to heaven too. So if you need to make some changes in your life this morning, you're among friends, won't you come forward now? While we stand, while we stand.